You know, we've been doing this on Wednesday nights a little bit, people sharing their salvation testimonies. And thank God for Minister Terman sharing his testimony this morning, salvation testimony. And we serve an awesome God, a mighty God who can bring us out of any type of circumstance or situation. I said we serve a mighty God who can bring us out of any and every situation. That first clap, y'all can do that. Y'all can clap like that for me if you want to or something. But when we talking about God, I mean, all of us have a story to tell. And the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I was excited when we went to Knoxville on Wednesday. Me and Mother Scott and Mackenzie Scott and also Raven Chapman and Jaron Lowe and also Reagan and Aaron. I think I got everybody. Five young people. Really had a good time ministering up there. Jaron and Aaron was kind of hanging out. And I was telling Brother Jim, Deacon Lowe earlier, they're a good combo. You know, Jaron, he's real laid back, you know. But then Aaron, you know, he's everywhere. He's ready. He's wide open. And you know, all of our young people. And I really, Mackenzie Scott shared a great testimony. I'm going to ask her to maybe share it before the congregation. She did a great job sharing. They had each little group we would meet and they would do part of a devotional. So she was practicing. So she practiced. I told her to practice on us. And I think she got to share after I left. But it's great to once again show our young people the DNA of it's not about you. It's about Christ, and it's about obeying what Jesus said in Acts 1:8, said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth, you know, in Chattanooga, Knoxville, and wherever else. Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all the nations. So we can study that and say all that want to, but if we don't kind of model that and show that for our young people, you know, many, especially African-American youth, a lot of them just grow up and don't even be thinking about the mission field. It's like that's the farthest thing from their mind. But you know, God may be calling some of you young people to the mission field. No greater call than to be on mission for God. And we're on mission for God wherever we are. Once again, good to see all of y'all. Good to see Jeremy and Mia here. Just good to see each and every one of y'all. Good to see our guests and our visitors here. We would definitely address you all even later. But there's a bulletin. The bulletin, you can put your information on that bulletin and just tear it off and give it to one of our secretaries. Ushers, and they get it to the secretary. Yeah, that's the way that works. Yeah. Stand with me this morning as we continue this series out of Revelation. A book in the Bible when I was young, and probably even as an early Christian. I'm like Steve. I got saved in 92, but grew up in the church. I used to be kind of scared of Revelation. But if you're in Christ, if you're born again, if you're regenerate, if you're saved, Revelation is an awesome book. It shows that we win in the end, so to speak, although the victory has already been won some 2,000 years ago. I'm going to read again for you here in Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. And this is Jesus Christ speaking. And to the angel or the pastor or the messenger or the elder of the church in Smyrna, or Love Fellowship. Right. Jesus said, write these things. And he's going to give some descriptions of who he is. These things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. And Jesus says, I know your works, your tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. This is important for everyone this morning. Jesus said, he who has an ear, Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. I'm going to preach for you, your hearing this morning. All of us can relate to this. Persevering through trials. Persevering through trials. You may be seated. Persevering through trials. Persevering through trials. Dear Lord, I pray that indeed that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. We thank you, dear God, for the privilege to come together, to read scripture, to pray, to sing songs to you, and to hear the preached word of God. So even now, dear God, let your word rebuke, correct, encourage, and exhort your people. Those on the sound of my voice, dear God, who have not surrendered their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, draw them to salvation this day. Let them know that today is a day of salvation. Those of us who are blessed by your grace and mercy to be saved, to be born again, do divine surgery on our hearts, dear God. Let us leave here today a little more in love with Jesus than when we first came. We will always be so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise that you and you alone are worthy of. And I pray this in the marvelous, matchless, strong name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That name that one day every knee is going to have to bow. Every tongue is going to have to confess to the glory of God the Father that indeed Jesus Christ is Lord. We pray this in his name. Amen. Persevering through trials. In this life, in this world in which we live, suffering, trials, tribulations, hardships, heartaches, ups, downs. All this is a part of life. And watch this. All this is a part of the Christian life as well. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said himself, he said, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have problems. In this world, you will have trouble. But check this out. I'm glad he just didn't leave us hanging right there. He said, but take courage. Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning. He said, take courage, for I have overcome the world. I don't know about you, but I want to track with the one who has overcome the world. I want to hang out with the one who has lived this thing we call life and lived it successfully. Let me refute this crazy, idiotic teaching that's been around for a while, this prosperity gospel type of foolishness. That, you know, like when you come to God, it's kind of like working on a slot machine or something. You say, okay, I give my life to God, I give my life to Jesus, and I hit the jackpot, and I'm going to get money, I'm going to get cars, I'm going to be good, no more sickness, no more. That's a bunch of lies. The word of God says this in 1 Peter chapter 4. Read it when you get home. 1 Peter, when the preacher gives a text, you need to always write it down. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and verse 13. The first part of that, 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13 says, beloved, writing to the saints, said, beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you or which is to test you as though some strange thing happened to you. Don't think it's strange when stuff starts happening to you as a Christian. But it says, but rejoice. Somebody say rejoice. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. That's the word of God for the people of God. In other words, when we walk this Christian walk, salvation, yes, is free. It's the free gift from God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. It's a free gift. It's free. You and I didn't have to pay anything for it. Jesus paid it all on Calvary's cross. But when you come to Christ, Christ say, count the cost. If you're going to follow me, take up your cross and follow me. This is not an easy walk. True Christians know this is not an easy walk. The true worshiper of God knows it's not an easy walk. But watch this. It's a joyful walk. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So we can have joy. We as Christians, we can have joy in the midst of sorrows. I can have peace in the midst of a storm. And believe you me, let me just say, it's three classes of people, at least three classes of people as a raise a storm. Either you just got out of a storm, or either you're in a storm right now, or you're heading into a storm. So you better get you some storm prevention insurance this day. Because the storm is coming. I love the Psalms. The psalmist said in Psalms 34:19, I've been blessed to preach this a couple of times. Psalms 34:19. I'm going to see how many of y'all took my earlier advice. I said, when somebody quotes or says a scripture, Reverend, you at least need to write it down. That can be your reading assignment when you get home. Psalms 34:19 says, it says, many. Somebody say many. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. I'm reading that right. Many are the afflictions of the right, not the unrighteous, Sister Ford. It said, many are the afflictions, Sister Lashana, of the righteous. Here it is though. Here it is. Here's that second half. I love when you're reading the text and you know it's kind of rough and it's kind of beating you up and you're like, man, this is rough. This is hard. I don't know if I can deal with this. And then you get to that. One of my friends, one of my brothers out of New Orleans called it the sanctified B-U-T. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. I'm telling you, you better get some storm protection. The Lord, he delivers us. Sister Geraldine, he delivers us out of them all. So it is, this church in Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 11. These seven churches I mentioned last week, only two of them got like a 100, an A, you know, got an A. They did well. The other five had some good stuff, but a lot of things that Jesus was displeased with. But two of the churches, the Church of Smyrna and the Church of Philadelphia, are the two that really got a good mark. So look, this church right here in Smyrna, it's not a church that's preaching or teaching heresy. It's not a church that's just doing all kind of crazy foolishness. It's not a church that got all kind of jacked up pastors in the pulpit or preachers in the pulpit. Now, this is a good church. This church in the city of Smyrna is a good church. Many people call it the persecuted church. And so Jesus writes this letter of encouragement to a strong church, to a strong Christian. Remember, as we go through this series, we're looking at it from two angles, the same angle, really. We're looking at it collectively as love fellowship, seeing how we fit in here as a church, see things that we need to do that Jesus is telling us to do. And also you as an individual Christian, me as an individual Christian, I'm looking to say, okay, Lord, like last week, I told you last week, God showed me, I, from time to time, I leave my first love, Jesus Christ. I know y'all never had that problem. I know y'all never, y'all sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit. You never had that problem. Every now and then we can drift if we're not careful. Matter of fact, one of the benefits, one of the blessings, you can write this down. It's one of my points at the very end. One of the benefits of suffering, one of the benefits of trials is to draw us closer to the Master. Is to draw us closer to Jesus Christ. If life was just perfect, just everything was at ease, truth be told, many of us would just, our prayer life would go down, we wouldn't halfway read our Bible. But when the child of God is going through something, we know where our help comes from. We know where our strength comes from. We know we can run into Christ, and he is a high tower, a strong tower. And so, Lord, this situation is rough. They're getting crazy on my job. It's crazy in my family. This medical illness and something. But I come to you, Christ. As I go through these trials, let me say this too parenthetically. The text is basically talking about persevering through trials for Christ's sake, trials for godliness. Now, many of us, let's be honest, many of us go through trials, exactly, bro, before we put it on ourselves. And then we either blame the devil or we blame God. Well, oh, devil, he beat me down. He beat me down today. Well, you probably need to be beaten down then. That's one of the things that God used the devil to be. Read the story of Job. Do I have any Bible readers in the house? Job, the devil got to check with God before he can do anything. If I just had four or five Bible readers, the devil, he can only do what God allows him to do. God got him on a little leash. God used the devil for his own purposes. But Jesus, as he writes this letter, the text says in verse 8, in this wonderful introduction, Jesus said, I'm the first and the last. We can just stop right there. I can just say a few more things. We can have a benediction and leave on that right there. Jesus, I'm the first and the last. He said, I'm the one who was dead and came to life. Jesus, he's the first and the last. That means he always has been and he always will be. It means when you go all the way back, however you go in eternity past, however far you can go back, sister, right? When you go all the way back, when you go all the way back, way back past Genesis chapter 1. And guess what? Guess what? Who's there? Jesus Christ is still there. Don't believe this foolishness where people try to tell you that Jesus is not God. Jesus is, he is deity wrapped, he is humanity wrapped up, he's deity wrapped up in humanity. He's 100% God, yet 100% man. He is the God man. That's why even in our discipleship class this morning, Sister Tanya Turner made the astute observation talking about when you read through Genesis 1, you get to Genesis 1, you can't read too far until you get to the point where it says, let us. That's plural. That's more than one, right? Let us make man in our own image. And so that's why we say we serve a triune God, one God, but he exists in three persons. I don't know how he does all that, but he does it. But he's God the Father, God the Son, that's Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. So don't even worry about those people. Don't, what word? The word Trinity is not in the Bible. No, it's not in the Bible, the word, but the Trinity is all through the Bible. Jesus said, I'm the first and the last. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the end and everything in between it, young Stephen. I'm Jesus Christ, the first and the last. I'm the one who was dead, but now I'm alive again. Colossians 1 says this. Colossians 1, 15 through 17 says this about Jesus Christ. Paul, writing to the church at Colossae, said this about Jesus Christ, Brother Rucker. He says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him, by Christ, all, somebody say all. One more time. Thank you. All things were created by him. All things that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him, through Christ, and for him. And he is, Jesus is, before all things, and in him all things hold together. The Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that was made, nothing was made unless it was made through Christ. Jesus, he's not God the Father, but he's God the Son, Mother Lawson. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who was dead and came to life. I say he was dead and came to life. I mean, he lives. He is risen. The tomb is empty. Up from the grave, he arose. He is risen. He is risen. He is not here. Why y'all look for Jesus amongst the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Check this out. Of the billions, not millions, but billions with a B, Sister Seymour. Of the billions of people who have lived, of the billions of people, my brothers and sisters, who have ever lived, no one has ever died and came back to life, never to die again. Brothers like Lazarus and some of those type of situations, yeah, they were dead and God rose them from the dead, but guess what? They had to die again. But Jesus, he conquered death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? I don't know about you. I can follow somebody like that. I can serve somebody like that. I can worship somebody like that who has conquered death. And not only just conquered death, very personal. Since I'm talking about the fruit of the qualities of Christ, he lived a perfect, sin-free life. He walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem, never sin, and went to the cross. Behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. He died as a sinless Savior. He took your hit and my hit, took my sins. The Bible says he bore our sins in his body on the cross that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. It's by Christ that we are made right. It's by Christ. It's by Christ. Don't let anybody fool you. Don't let anybody steer you the wrong way. It's Jesus. Salvation is Jesus. It's Jesus. It was Jesus yesterday. It's Jesus today. And it'll be Jesus tomorrow. So Jesus said it very clearly in John 14:6, much better than I. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So really, this Christian faith, let me just back it off just for a second. This Christian faith is really, exclusive, exclusive as well as inclusive. exclusive as well as inclusive. See, like those words are like mutually exclusive, right? It's like an oxymoron. It's exclusive in that it excludes any other option. It's only Christ. It excludes those who don't want to come that way. But it's inclusive in the fact that anybody say, okay, the Bible is true. The Word of God is the Word of God. I'm going to get saved through Christ. So it's inclusive if you go that way. But if you choose to go another way, it's exclusive. So Jesus said, I'm the first and the last. I'm the one who was dead and I came to life. Now, he's writing this once again to the church at Smyrna, which was what we call the persecuted church, a good church, a good church. And since Jesus died for the church, died for us, you and me, he is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the CEO. He is the leader of the church. I think we need to listen to what he has to say. And so he says in this church, he said, I know your works in verse 9. And that's a good thing in this case, because their works were good. And matter of fact, that's kind of inclusive of the fact that Jesus said, I know what you're even going through. I know that they persecuting you down there in Smyrna. But he said, I know your works. I know what you're going through. Now, sometimes, saints, sometimes we can be going through a storm, going through a trial. And sometimes we can have a pity party. And even think that God has forsaken us. Like, you know, where is my Father? Where is God? Where is Jesus? I'm in the midst of this tough situation. My job, people going crazy on my job. Got tough stuff going on in my house. Got something with my marriage. Got something with my kids. Got something with my parents. I got this medical issue. I got this financial issue. Where is Jesus? He's right there where he's always been. If you belong to him, he's right there where he's always been. He said, never alone. No, never alone. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So he's writing, if you will, to kind of encourage this church. Jesus said, I know your works. I know what you're going through. I know your trials. I know your tribulations. I know what's going on in your life. I know your works. But Jesus never leaves us alone. I mean, think about Daniel. Let me give you a couple of quick examples, quick biblical examples, Daniel, when he left Jerusalem and got taken into captivity with the other Israelites. Y'all remember that, right? Yeah. Do I have some Bible? Am I talking too slow or too fast or too loud or too soft? Do I have some Bible readers in the house? that's Sunday School 101 right there. Daniel in the lion's den. You don't even know how to read your Bible to get that one. But y'all remember Daniel, right? Here he is in a foreign land. And this is good, as I hear Mr. Terman often say, this is good for our young people, really good for anyone. He's in a foreign land, a teenager, Daniel. And, you know, they came out with this edict, and they said, okay, because they were trying to get Daniel, because Daniel had found favor with the king, King Darius, and they were trying to really, you know, his little co-worker, they were trying to trip him up, just like today, they were trying to trip him up. But they said, we can't find anything on Daniel. The only way we can get something on Daniel, this is a good testimony, the only way we can find to get something on Daniel, Sister Jasmine, is somehow get something about him and his God. So they kind of tricked King Darius in a way to come up with this crazy edict about, and they were in a pagan land, that hey, everybody in this pagan land got to pray to these pagan gods. And if you get caught praying to any other god, you're in trouble. I'm going to throw you to the lions. And he signed it, and it's like, it's irrevocable. This is what has to happen. And so, you know, Daniel said, forget that. Daniel said, I'm going to keep on praying. And if you read the Bible, Daniel, I think it's chapter 3, you read your Bible, and Daniel, the Bible said he pulled back the curtains and prayed 3 times like he had been praying in the morning. When I read that, Sister Hardaway, I often think about, I would have kept praying, Brother and Sister Terman, but I don't know if I'd have pulled back the curtains. I might have kept the curtains closed, I don't know. But Daniel pulled the curtains back, so I'm going to pray to my God. And so they ran and reported on Daniel. Daniel over there praying. King Darius, he's forgetting you. He's disrespecting you. He's over there praying. And so King Darius liked Daniel. God has shown Daniel favor. You know, you walk with God. You walk with Jesus. Even in the midst of trials and tribulations, God will show you favor. He will give you favor where you need to go. And he'll stop where you don't need to go. And so Darius like, man, I want to get out of this, but their edict, you know, it couldn't be reversed. So even though he was a king, so long story short, y'all know the story, the biblical account, they go and throw Daniel in the lion's den. And this is an amazing thing. If you read that, King Darius, who I assume to be a pagan king, before he even threw Daniel in there, this is what he said. Check out what he said. He said, Daniel, your God will save you. We don't often find that type of faith in the Christian church. This pagan said, your God will save you. And Darius was so messed up, King Darius. He went on back home, and the Bible said, sleep left him. In other words, the brother couldn't even sleep. He stayed up all night pacing. I wonder what's going to happen with Daniel. And so the next morning, he rushed on down. And, he couldn't get any sleep. And Daniel is in there because God, I'm just talking about persevering through trials. Daniel is in there hanging out with God, hanging out with Jesus. Daniel in there using the lions for a pillow. And so the king comes back. And he looks in, and he begin to praise. He said, Daniel, your God is the true God. Your God is the true God. I'm just trying to encourage you, saint, and let you know, even though you're trying to do the right thing, like a Daniel, you're still going to go in some lion dens. You're still going to go through some tough times. But God is there. God is with you. He is with you. He is able. I say he's able. He's able. I know he's able. He's able to bring you through. So this church at Smyrna, we don't know much about it. Some of these other churches are referenced in Acts, like the church at Ephesus. So really, the only thing, quote unquote, this church was getting it for was because, listen to this, they were persecuted because of their love for Christ and their faithfulness to him. Can't come up with anything. They're going through tough times. They're going through persecution because they're in the midst of a pagan country. They're going through tough times because of their love for Christ and their faithfulness to him. So don't get it twisted. I'm writing a text. This is the Bible. I don't want to encourage you, but I don't want to mislead you. You can be faithful and doing all that you're supposed to be doing in the Lord. And once again, trials will come. Tribulation will come. You know, Genesis chapter 3. I mean, Adam and Eve opened up that door, you know, let sin come in. They open up the door. But even though many are the afflictions of the righteous, I love this part, Brother Chris. But the Lord, Brother Rucker, but the Lord delivers them, out of them all. We got a deliverer. We go through some tribulations, some trials, some tough times, Sister Roxy, but we got a mighty deliverer. We got a God who not only allows us to go through the trials, but he takes us through the trials. This city of Smyrna, they had this crazy emperor, and he pretty much demand worship. So one of the reasons, because the word in the text in verse 9 says, Jesus, I know your works, I know your tribulation. This word tribulation really means pressure. You know, Jesus, I know y'all under some pressure there at the church. I know you're under some pressure on your job. I know you're under some pressure trying to do the right thing. I know you got some peer pressure going on at school, young people, and you're under some pressure, people trying to get you to go the wrong way. Jesus, I know about all that. He said, I'm with you. I'm here with you. I know about your pressure. And so this whole city of Smyrna, they were basically anti-Christian. They pretty much were into pagan worship and stuff. And even this emperor, once again, this emperor himself, he basically wanted to be worshiped. And so the Christians, listen, this is where the Christian church got to stand strong, even in perilous days in which we live right now. This is when the Christian church got to stand strong. Everybody else around this church is like, well, we got to worship the emperor. We got to worship him. And the saints there, some of them said, no, we ain't. We ain't going out like that. We're not worshiping your false gods. We're not fooling around with the emperor, rather. We're not fooling around with the emperor. We're only worshiping our God. And so because of that, the government themselves called the Christians rebels. And call them insurrectionists. You know, they gonna maybe try to overthrow the government. You know, they don't do what we tell them to do. They are rebels. So that was one of the reasons they were being persecuted, because the people in the city, they weren't going along with the worship of their leader, their emperor. Another reason they were going through a lot of persecution was because this city, which most of these cities were, it was full of pagan worship. As it relates to religion, most of their religion revolved around pagan deities. You know, cats like Zeus and those types of cats, pagan deities. And so even most of the social interaction, getting invited to parties and coming over to my house, a lot of it revolved around these false gods. So, of course, the Christian, the top 10, just the 10 commandments tell us that we don't worship no idol gods. Thing. I said, we don't worship no idol gods. It's a lot of idols out there, but we don't worship idol gods. So the Christians we call it the First Baptist Church of Smyrna. The Christians there, they say, hey, we're not gonna fool around. We're not gonna fool around with this worshiping these idol gods. So if you think about it, so the Christians, they were tagged as atheists, and they were tagged really as marginalized. They got pushed off to the side. And, you know, you think about it mainly because, once again, they didn't go along with what the emperor said. They didn't go along with what the false worshiper said. Kind of like America today. I'm gonna just drop two quick things on you and then move on. You know, the laws of the land. Look, the Bible says pray for our leaders. We need to really pray for our leaders now. Really, in every administration, we need to pray for them. But pray for our leaders, pray for the president, pray for the mayor, pray for the governor. The Bible says pray for your leaders. And we are also called to abide by the laws of the land, except or if or but they contradict the word of God. Now when the government starts saying, you need to do this. Now, we as Christians, if it doesn't line up with the word of God, I'm sorry. We're going to go a different route. For instance, when the government says that you can have an abortion. But we all know that's wrong. We all know that's sin, Brother Steve. We know that's sin. That's murder. So we don't say, well, you know, you can go to a clinic and get it done. It must be okay. No. God's word says differently. All right. Some of y'all didn't get that one. I lost it on that. That's one. Let me give you another one. The government says a man can marry a man and a woman can marry a woman. Guess what? The Bible says differently. I read this every now and then. And look here. Genesis 1, it's very simple. Especially about this all, and I'm not saying people don't need counsel. I'm not saying people might need some help in that area with this gender confusion stuff. I was born gay. I was born this. Genesis 1, check me out. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created man in his own image, male and female. God created them. That's open and shut case right there. Now, God made us, right? He created everything, right? I don't think he got the sex thing confused. In the beginning, God created male and female. And then some of these people even try to jump in on, you know, get in on all the civil rights and all that stuff. I was born black. Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. Well, I'm sorry. I went back to the 60s. I went back almost past my time, brother. But I was born black. But you're not born gay. That's a charge you make. It's a charge you make. So I'm just trying to kind of contextualize it a little bit, let you know even what the church then was going up against, because the culture was against it. So don't be confused. We live in an anti-Christ, an anti-God culture. This world system is totally opposite of God's word and God's system. So as a Christian and as a church, we got to stand strong on the biblical precedent, the biblical principle of God. We can't say, well, it's okay because everybody else says okay. Just because they legalize alcohol, just because they legalize weed, that doesn't mean you got to do it. I talked to a guy recently, you know, when you the Bible tells us as we are going, make disciples, as you are going, as you're just doing life, just, you know, start conversations with people. You get some interesting conversations. I was talking to this one guy, and he was straight up, and he said, yeah, man, I like to smoke that weed, man, marijuana, man, weed. I said, man, you need to leave that stuff alone. He said, well, God made it. It grows out of the ground. Well, God has made some poison plants, too, but you're not out there eating up and smoking the poison plants. Don't be selective. You know. Laughter is good for the soul, the Bible said. Another God that was really going on back then is going on today is, Brother Vizo, is the God of materialism, the God of greed. More cars, more house, bigger house, two houses, three, more. Greed, a God of materialism, a God of greed. So we got to be careful as Christians to stay true with our true God. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. So our allegiance, just like these brothers in Smyrna church, our allegiance is to one king. My allegiance wasn't to President Obama, so I didn't all go freak out when he's not in the White House. My allegiance is not to President Trump. I'm finally, y'all pray with you, Pastor. I'm able to say that now. I used to not be able to say that, but I'm going to say that. My allegiance wasn't to President Bush. It wasn't to President Carter. No, our allegiance, we only have one king. We only have one king. And that's King Jesus. That's who my allegiance to, King Jesus. And guess what? This is a fixed deal. The Bible says even the hearts of the evil kings, even the hearts of the evil leaders are still in the hands of God. And he turns them however he wants to turn them. If you don't believe me, just ask Brother Nehemiah who was working for a pagan king and he prayed and he wept and you know, the walls of Jerusalem was messed up and God showed him favor as he went before this pagan king. So it really doesn't matter. We need to pray. We need to vote. We need to do those things. But don't stress out over. I mean, we just passing through this place called Earth. Anyway, we striving to make a difference, be salt and light while we're here. But we just passing through. We're just passing through. And then another thing that Jesus said, this church, he talks about, look at the text, verses 9. He talks about their poverty. Their poverty. Brother Steve spoke about that a little earlier. Their poverty. Because this church had been marginalized, because this city, like many cities, has some good industries going on, but because the people that went to that church, they were excluded, so they couldn't get into certain type of guilds or a certain type of labor unions, or many of them in this church couldn't get a job. So they were poor financially. I said, they were poor financially. Now, let me balance this. Sometimes, see, you know, this whole prosperity gospel thing about, you know, you get saved and get go rich. Let me say it this way. Poor people, it's no extra benefit as a Christian of being poor financially. You can be poor and end up in hell. You can be poor and go to heaven. You can be rich and end up in hell, and you can be rich and go to heaven. So these saints were poor financially, but I love what Jesus says. Jesus said, see, I'm checking out your poverty. I'm checking it out. I'm checking out your poverty, but you are rich. You are rich. You are rich. I forgot what, a spoof, many years ago. I've really forgotten what it was now, but this was years ago. I probably shouldn't even been watching it, but it was a good little funny spoof. And, this one guy, he had a little thing where he used to always say, I'm rich. That's what he used to say. He said, I'm rich. I forget the guy's name. He's a funny little actor. But this was years ago. But look, even though they were poor financially, then Jesus said, but they are rich. So well, what are you talking about, Pastor? What are you talking about? Well, VBS is coming up a week from Monday. Our theme that our young people actually came up with, it ain't about the money, but it's about Christ. It ain't about the money. It's about Christ. Brother Job would say it this way. He would say it this way. Your self-worth isn't tied to your net worth. Some of y'all catch that on the way home. You know, it's not about the money. This church was poor financially, had trouble keeping the lights on, had trouble paying the pastor, they had trouble doing these things. They were poor financially, but they were rich. Well, how were they rich? Well, check this out. You might want to write some of these down. They were rich in salvation. They were saved. They were born again. They were Christians. They were rich in holiness. They were rich in grace. They were rich in peace. They were rich in the protection of the Lord. They were rich in the comfort and the encouragement of our God. That's being rich. I'll take that any day. I'll take that over that other stuff any day. Just give me salvation. Just give me deliverance. Just give me some peace. Just give me some joy. I'll take that any day. And then often the Lord, he tells you he's going to provide for all of our needs. And then he goes on in verse 9. I'm trying to make it through this. I'm halfway to my seat. That's what the famous Baptist preacher says. I'm halfway to my seat. I'm about to close. But in verse 9, latter part of verse 9, Jesus also goes on and says, some say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. And this is kind of a slippery slope. Even a lot of commentators kind of, you know, debate back and forth on that. But I think part of what Christ is saying there is that even though some people profess to be one thing, like some people profess to be a Christian, but really are not. Some people disguise themselves as a Christian coming into the Christian church, but really don't belong to Jesus Christ. Jesus said it better than me. He said in a gathering, in a local assembly, you would have sheep and goats. You have wheat and tares, or wheat and weeds. And a lot of times they look the same. And so the disciples, when they kind of caught that, they said, well, Jesus, let us go in there. We'll straighten out. And Jesus said, no. Y'all mess it up. Y'all mess it up. See, Jesus, he's the one that looks at your heart and my heart. He's the one. He's not looking and checking the church roll with sister cousin, seeing who's on there, who's not. He knows if you're his or not. He knows if you surrendered your knee to him. He knows if you're following after him. He knows. It doesn't matter if we're doing works. It doesn't matter what all the stuff we do. Jesus knows. So the text says some of them were saying they were one thing, but really they were the synagogue of Satan. And then verse 10 says, Jesus, that was kind of Jesus, he commended and said some good things to him. Now he's going to shift gears just a little bit and tell them some encouragement, even though they're going through the midst of trials. Look at this. He says, do not fear. Somebody say, fear not. You know, as a Christian, and I know we all may battle with that sometimes, but really, as a Christian, let me just go to John 10, 28 through 30 first. Jesus said, if you belong to me, you're in my hands. And Sister Geraldine, and he also says, you're also in my Father's hands. He said, nobody can pluck you out, right? So we are secure in our salvation. I know when I die, whenever that's going to happen, unless it raps to happen, it's going to happen one day. I know I'm going to heaven. Because I belong to Jesus. I'm in his hands. So fear not. I don't fear death. So what the Lord is even telling you and me even this morning, if you can trust him for salvation, if you can trust him for your eternal destiny, if you can trust him for when you leave here, you're going to be in his presence forever. Well, you can trust him to deal with that little situation on your job. You can trust him to deal with the situation in your marriage. You can trust him to deal with that financial situation. So Jesus says, fear not. Paul said it this way, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of 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 God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I got peace because I'm hanging with Jesus. I got peace because I belong to God. I got peace because I'm turning it over to him. So once again, an encouraging word for the child of God. When you go through trials, when you go through tribulations, many of us here at Love Fellowship the last 6 months to a year or so have gone through different trials, different tribulations, different things. But Jesus said, I am with you. Job said it this way. You know, in Job, all those things Job lost in chapter 1. Do I have any Bible readers in the house? See, y'all got to help a preacher. I got to help the pastor. I can't turn to every passage and read the whole story every time. Job 1, Job 2. Job lost everything. Job lost everything. And then Job, he had the audacity to say, the Lord give it, and the Lord take it away. Bless it, bless it, bless it, be the name of the Lord. I can tell some of y'all are not reading your Bibles because Job, he lost everything. I'm sorry. I don't even say, well, I wonder what I would have done. Yeah, I'm sure I would have been over in a corner somewhere. They had to rush me out to Moccasin Bend. They would have to take me over to Valley Hospital. I would have been taking all kinds of, I would have just lost it probably if I lost my wife, but he didn't lose. Well, he should have lost his wife if you read the text. I had to read the text. I gotta clear that up right quick. Now, the only reason I said that was when Job was standing strong with the Lord, his wife said, Job, you like one of the foolish guys. He said, won't you just curse God and die? And Job said, you sound like a foolish woman. I ain't cursing God and die. That's why I said that. Some people take snippets out of the sermon. Well, the preacher said today, your wife, you can just get rid of her. She should have died. Now, it's going to give you a little contextual continuity on that point there. But Job said, man, hey, this stuff ain't about nothing. God gave it to me. He said, naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I'm going to go back. This old adage, y'all hear it all the time. Ain't no U-Hauls be following the hearse. Joe said, I'm... So you and I, as we go through things, as we go through trials and tribulations, as we deal with these different groups of people, and one of the groups, once again, in the text, were the Jewish people who really hated the Christians, much like Saul of Tarsus, who was hunting down, tracking down Christians, trying to take them out, putting them in prison. It's amazing. It's amazing. If, just like Steve sharing his salvation testimony, if the hand of God is on you, if he's going to save you, I don't care where you're running. I don't care where you going, where you're ducking and diving. I don't care if you're hanging out in the club. I don't care if you're doing this, that, and the other. If God's going to get you, he's going to get you. You might as well go on surrender now. God will run you down. The hounds of hell, some theologians call it. I don't know about you, but I'm glad God ran me down. I'm glad God chased me down. I thought I was getting away in a sense. I'm just glad I surrendered and slowed down earlier. So then Jesus tells them, once again, to fear not. Psalms 56:11 says, in God, it says, in God I have put my trust. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Jesus said it this way. It says, why fear man, Sister Bailey? Why fear man who can only take your life, but fear God who can take your life and your soul? See, Jesus knows the future. He warns his church. He said, hey, look, don't be afraid. The devil, he is real. He's not some mythical character. He is real. He hates God. He hates the people of God. The devil, he's going to come. This is a good church. He's going to come and he's going to throw some of y'all in jail. It says tribulation for 10 days. It's kind of symbolic of meaning a short time. You're going to be thrown in jail. But then Jesus said, be faithful. And that's my word to you this morning. Be faithful. Be faithful in your Christian walk. Be faithful in sharing the gospel. Be faithful as a husband. Be faithful as a wife. Be faithful as a parent. Be faithful as a young person. Be faithful on your job. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful. And I would give you the crown of life. Now see, the crown of life, of course, symbolic. The crown of life means eternal life. Once again, this is to the church. This is the ecclesia, the crawl out when this is a Christian. Be faithful until death, and I would give you the crown of life. So just hang in there, saints. Don't grow weary of well doing. Hang in there. But if you don't know Jesus, if you've been shucking and jiving and whatever, today, once again, is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. Because not only does he say, I give you the crown of life, then in verse 11, the Lord says, listen, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Then he goes on and gives us another great promise. He said, he who shall overcome will not be hurt by the second death. Now see, the second death, for those of you who don't know, the second death is referring to hell. It's referring to eternal damnation, the lake of fire. So Jesus is saying, if you overcome, you won't have to go to hell. Now see, if you're in Christ, let me tell you something. If you're in Christ, you will overcome. But if you're not in Christ, you will not overcome. So Jesus gives a encouragement as well as a warning. He says, if you are the overcomer, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you just remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. So don't give me that stuff about, everybody doing this and that. No, if you're in Jesus, I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm not talking about perfection. But I'm saying if you're in Christ, if you're born again, if you're an overcomer, if the second death has been canceled, hell has been canceled for you, you will bear some fruit. You can't help it. The Spirit of God is inside of you. Love, joy, peace, patience. Goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I mean, even, as a Christian, if you're growing, even when you quote unquote don't want to, next thing you know, God reminds you, I love you when you were unlovable. And then you're like, man, okay, man, I'm going to go on and love him. Even though I don't like their ways, I'm going to go on and love him. Let me preach over here this side. I think y'all, yeah. You know, we should love everybody. But sometimes people got some ways I don't like. But check this out. This is going to really trip you out. Some of my own ways I don't like. But we got to love everyone. I'm about to land it. I'm almost in the hallway right now, shaking hands. For real. Let me give you a couple of these real quickly. I heard Tony Evans. It's an amazing thing. I was up this morning. I have a little ritual. I try to prayerfully be through with my message by Friday. And if I am, some Friday afternoons, I come. But at least if I don't do that, morning, go over my text, go over, and then Saturday night. So that deal situations and stuff throw you off. That's my goal. I don't wait and do a Saturday night special. I'm my deal. So I did that, right, this morning. So I went over my text, went over, just a little home, drinking a little hot tea, eating a little six-pack of crack, flipped on the TV, and I was like, man, okay, I'm going to flip on this TV and see what's on that should come on. I like to listen to every now and then. And I turned it on about 7:29. I said, okay, you know, any pastor, preacher, brother, see, I love to get preached to. Something wrong about it. Something wrong with that brother. Yeah. And so I'm sitting down at the table, you know, saying, Lord, thank you, Tony Evans, out of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, Revelation chapter 2. I said, man, don't worry. Same book. So as I sat there, you know, it was just such a blessing just to hear this is, you know, Tony Evans. And I mean, I was just blessed by just listening to the same text I was going to preach. And I was just listening to him. And then he mentioned three things. I'm going to give these to you real quickly. And they always say when you get something from somebody else the first time, you have to acknowledge, say, okay, I got this from Tony Evans. And then the next time you can say, well, I got it. Someone once said. And then the third time, you just go on like it's yours. You know, you just roll on with it. So Tony Evans said, and he had scripture on all these. I didn't get a chance to write all the scriptures down. But he said, one of the things, and I agree with him, one of the things that trials do, Brother Keith, that they humble us. See, Paul, when he got up, saw that great vision in heaven. I mean, Paul was a bad boy, as they say. I really like a lot about Paul. He loved Jesus. He wasn't perfect, of course. We saw that a few Wednesday nights ago in Bible study, those of you who were with us. But he loved the Lord. And so the Lord gave him this incredible vision. He even said, I don't know if I got caught up in heaven for real or what. It's just a vision. I don't know what it was, but I saw some stuff I can't even write about. I saw some stuff that, and so I can imagine having that type of theophany, having that type of experience. Many of us can't handle all that. So God said, well, Paul, to keep you humble, I'm gonna give you a messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was, but a thorn in the flesh. And Paul prayed, I'm talking about persevering through trials. Paul prayed three times, the Lord, remove this thorn from me. But then God said, no, I'm not gonna remove it. But here you go. He said, but my grace. Oh, y'all not hearing me. My grace is sufficient. See, a lot of times we just want to get removed that from now. Sometimes God said, I'm going to leave you right there. I'm going to leave you under this pressure. I'm going to leave you under this situation. But have courage. My grace, Mother Lawson, my grace, God says, Sister Kayla, is sufficient. So oftentimes God sends trials and tribulations to humble us. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Second thing, Tony Evans said, see, it's okay. Check this out. It's okay to be a copycat as long as you're copying the right cat. Sorry to be a copycat. Second thing he said, and I really believe, seriously, the way God worked that timing out, and I try to pray about these types of things, that the Lord wanted me to share these things with you. Second thing, Evans said, tribulation, these things help to grow us. Thank you. I got a few athletes in the house. Young Stephen. They said Stephen is about the first or second strongest man up there on Uduwa's football team. Kind of like his dad. I'm serious. I met a teenager. See, that's what young people, that's what you just carry yourself in the way that you should be carrying yourself. I met a young man and we got to talking and saying with the Uduwa. And I said, hey, you know Stephen Turner? He lit up. He said, yeah, man, yeah, I love to get with him. We lift weights. He's strong. I love him. I love that guy. So that's a way that Stephen right there at Uduwa is making a difference for Christ. Just following Christ. Following his dad. His dad followed Christ. But yeah, if you're a weightlifter, you got to put a little weight on that. It's kind of, you know, we need some heavy lifting to help grow us. So trials help to grow us, saints. Then the third thing, and this is Philippians 3:10, so look that up when you get home, Philippians 3:10. Another thing that trials do, I know I've experienced this, it helps to deepen our relationship with Christ. It helps to deepen our relationship with God. So don't get me wrong, I don't like trials, I don't like tribulation, I don't like going through this stuff, but I'm learning now when stuff like that happens to me, not so much say, why me, God, but more like, what, Lord? What are you showing me? What do you want? What are you working on? What do I need to correct? How do I need to line up more perfectly with you? Because I know I'm not just suffering for no reason, so I want to suffer as unto the Lord. So when we go through trials, saints, it deepens your relationship, deepen my relationship with Jesus, Sister Kathy. Another thing about a trial, and I'm out of here. Another biblical example. I keep going to Daniel. Maybe I just need to read the whole book of Daniel. I know I preached out of Daniel some weeks ago on fasting, so maybe somebody just need to read the book of Daniel. Three Hebrew boys. We know about them. We've heard this. So don't just shut me off. Oh, yeah, I read that. I heard that. No, this is the word of God. Listen to this. I'm just talking about how trials, how you can persevere through trials. The three Hebrew boys, we know them, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That was their given name. That wasn't their original Jewish names. They had this little music in Babylon that they played. And whenever they played this little music, Everybody's supposed to bow down, kind of in reference to King Nebuchadnezzar, and he had built this big golden, idol. So when they played the little music, everybody's supposed to bow down, right? So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, kind of like my prayer for young Stephen is, they say, we're not going to bow down. We're not going to bow down to what everybody else is doing. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they could care less about that little king's music. And so, of course, once again, just like with Daniel, the word gets back to the king. And the king, you know, these men of God, the king, they really had, even though they were different cultures, the kings really liked these guys, kind of like Joseph, because they saw the hand of God on them. So King Nebuchadnezzar, when he heard it, he said, I'm going to call them for myself. Y'all say they're not bowing down. Let me call Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let me call them. I'm just going to call them and give them another chance. And so when they came, they rolled up on the king. The king said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm not saying y'all did or didn't. I'm not saying, but the word kind of getting back that y'all not bowing down when we played a little. Read it in the Bible. It's much better than I can tell it. Read it in the Bible. He said that you're not bowing down when they played a little. Before he can even get his sentence out, before he can even get his sentence finished, they said, King, let us tell you this. We only serve one true and living God. And you can throw us in that little fiery furnace. But our God, read it. It's in the Bible. But our God will deliver us. Now that's before they got into the fire. And then they go on and say, but if you don't, King, don't worry about that. If you don't, so what? We're not going to bow down to you. So that's what the type of faith that you and I got to have. We got to say, regardless of what everybody else is saying, regardless of what the culture said, regardless of what my own flesh said, regardless of what whatever said, if it's against God, if it's against Christ, you got to say, no, I'm not bowing down to that. I'm not bowing down. I only bow to Jesus. I only bow to God. So he said, throw us in there. Give us all you got. So the king got so mad. His flesh got mad. He got mad. He said, okay, turn it up. 6 or 7, turn it up higher. They turned it up so high. First of all, they threw them in. They bound them. They tied them up. Very important point. They tied them up. Put a turban on their head and put some, like a sweater or just something else on them. And they had them bound. So see, they had them bound. And then the guys came, LeBron, they came. And it was so hot. It was so hot that the guys who were throwing them in there, they got burned up. So that's pretty hot. And so they went on and threw them on down there, and the king, he was just kind of chilling. So he kind of went back and just kind of crossed his legs and kind of sit back and see what's going to happen. He got a little confused. He got a little confused. He was looking looking, and he got a little confused. He said, wait a minute. I see something that's kind of throwing me off. He asked this guy, he said, how many did we throw in there? It's a king, we threw three in there. 1, 2, 3, 4. How many did we throw in there? 3. 1, 2, 3. I see 4, and the fourth looks like the Son of God. Now, God's awesome power is much better than y'all just clapped. They threw him down in there. Jesus didn't rescue them, but Jesus went down in the fiery furnace and hung out with them. All I'm trying to tell you, when you go through trials, when you go through tribulations, as you keep Christ first in your life, Christ will come down into your situation. He will come down into your situation. And not only did he come down in their situation, the Bible said they saw him walking around and they weren't bound. They went in tied up and bound. They came out not bound, Brother Kurt. I mean, isn't that just like Jesus? He not only saves us, but he has a way of unloosing us, unshackling us. We might get saved, we might be bound, but then we get free spiritually. Then he sets us free. He delivers us, and he keeps on working on us. And one of the ways he works on us is through trials and tribulations. Went in bound, came out unbound. In this life, Jesus says, you and I will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Be encouraged. Jesus says, Sister Annie, Jesus said, I have overcome. Sister Howell, Brother Sidney said, I've overcome the world. I'll come down into your fiery furnace with you. Who wouldn't want to surrender? Who wouldn't want to serve? Who wouldn't want to worship? Who wouldn't want to adore? Who wouldn't want to abide with? Who wouldn't want to hang out with a savior like that? They can have all these other false saviors. They can have all these other false gods. I'm going to say it like grandmama used to say, just give me Jesus and that's enough for me. I was just talking to my cousin yesterday, my first cousin. He lives in Kansas City, and he had godly parents. They raised him up in the ways of the Lord, and so he serves the Lord. He's a pastor, and we were just talking yesterday, and he told me, I'm going to paraphrase what he was saying. I was just listening. He said, man, he said, I got Jesus, and that's enough. He said, man, I got Jesus, and that's all I need. That's what he told me. I said, amen, brother. Amen. And dear Lord, that's my closing statement. He who has Jesus, that's enough. He himself said, if you just abide in me, remain in me, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So dear Lord, my prayer today is that those here today who have Christ, that you would encourage their hearts, that you would work on all of us, prune us, convict us, rebuke us, and encourage and exhort us. Then, Father, under the sound of my voice, those who don't know Christ, draw them. Draw them, Lord. You've drawn us by your loving kindness, so draw them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Gonna ask you if you can.